We talk about Mother's Day today. We're taking a little bit of a break, I guess, from the series Resurrection Realities. We'll resume that last week. Hope you're consuming it too, I guess. But anyway, we're talking today about thanks, Mom. You know, sometimes we don't say thank you enough. Anybody can look back in life and remember, I probably didn't thank my mom enough. You know, I'm just being honest. And there's things I wish I would have done, but I can't do now because she's not around. But, you know, just the special place that moms have in our life, and they hold that in our heart. And to me, moms have a gift of making us feel special even when we feel very average. You know, they just have that gift to be able to do that. And, you know, to me, being a mom is more than giving birth, but instilling timeless truths to be passed down from generation to generation. And that's just very important that we need to see the means for, to me, it's generational wisdom, you know, that's passed down from family to family. And that just, I think moms, you know, hold a special place in that. They do a lot of things with the kids, I think, more than dads, not all the time. But I mean, it's just amazing, you know, as I think back in my childhood, and I've also, you know, probably don't remember all that as good, but just watching my wife and how she was raising the kids, her part that she played. And, you know, to be honest, I don't know if I really mentioned this even to her, but I've personally always envied women for getting the experience of what they do in childbirth. You know, not the gaining of weight or the actual childbirth, but but the feeling of the new life inside of them. I bet that's just amazing. You know, that feeling of when, you know, you have that new life that that came from God, and you're now the one who is going to carry that child and bring it into this world. I mean, that's something that men will never get to experience. Now, the other stuff you guys can have, that's cool, you know. But anyway, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 for a moment, just a small little scripture. Talks about the first lady. Hopefully, women, you feel like you're the first lady in people's lives today, right? And Genesis 3:20 says, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence here today to be with us, to strengthen us, to be able to bring us through all the things of this world that we have to experience. Lord, we thank you so much for that anointing that's here, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, to be able to break every yoke of bondage on our lives, things that's going on in our life, Lord, that we can just shed that load and give it over to you. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just what the Lord laid on my heart this week, and just the idea, and we're going to talk about nurturing a little bit in a moment, but the concept of, you know, what it means, you know, when Adam, you know, a lot of things had transpired here before this passage came into place. You know, Eve, her name really means life or living, and, you know, that's what man, Adam, had called her, because she was going to bring life. And to me, it's an interesting statement of faith. It was a statement of faith because just previously, a few verses earlier, came the most probably devastating and destructive thing for mankind was the fall of man when they fell from the presence of God. They had been in close, intimate relationship with the Father, and due to the sin where Eve allowed herself to be tricked by the devil and to believe his lies, and then Adam jumped wholeheartedly in and followed her, it just brought a terrible thing. It was a bad situation. And to me, I think what Adam, he spoke words of faith here because life was going to come out of that bad situation. And that's what we have to see as you and I go through the turmoils of life from time to time. Life isn't always easy, but it is life, right? It's the only one that we have on this earth. I mean, we will, you know, play our cards right and, you know, make Jesus Christ our Lord and Master. We're going to live with him forever, right? You know, but this life here is all that we can experience now. And the things that you and I go through, sometimes we just have to speak words of faith over that situation. No matter what devastating blow that you and I have maybe faced in life, good things can come out of that. And we need to hold on to that. And that's what's going to bring us through. You know, definitely, like I mentioned, you know, Eve was the first lady in the Bible. You know, she was the first woman. You know, God, you know, created her. She came out of man. And so she was the first. I mean, she experienced a lot of great things, interesting things. And she was the first wife. I mean, she, you know, was in relationship with the first man, Adam. And through them, you know, population of the planet started. That's where our genetic code came from, back in the Garden of Eden. Not only was she the first woman and the first wife, but she also became the first mother. Never, you know, how, you know, most of us have probably learned some things through our parents, right? Whether you want to, you know, admit it or not. You know, we did learn some things from our mothers and our fathers. Well, they didn't have a pattern to follow. They were first. And so they just, I want to say they had to wing it sometimes. Have you ever had to wing it as a parent? Right? You know, what do you do? How do you get through these situations? And how do you make these kind of decisions? And another unique thing, she was the only woman that came from a man. All the rest would come from a woman. God took her out of man and, you know, made her, and she was going to be part of his life, you know, for forever. And, you know, she was the mother of all living. All life came from her, like I mentioned, and could just be all traced back to her. So really she had a unique place in our history, and we can be thankful for that. Now, as we remember, Eve was in Adam when God created mankind, and was created in the image of God. I don't know if you've ever really thought about that concept or everything that kind of plays into that, that we were created in the image of God, and how important that is that we see that, that we are here to reflect God's glory up on this earth and to reveal to mankind. Because there's a lot of people that do not accept the fact, you know, that we come from a loving God and all that entails. So we're here to reflect that glory so that all can see. Now, like many mothers, you know, mothers feel that creative power working inside of them, and it's an honor that God gave to them. And that's kind of a blessing. And, you know, maybe, you know, it's hard sometimes. I mean, I was in the delivery room 3 times. I know it's hard. You know, my hand still hurts from that day, you know. But I'm getting over it. It's starting to loosen up a little bit. But, you know, just like anybody else, Eve wore many hats. And as I look at women, as I said earlier when we was talking, you know, women to me have a harder job than men many times, most of the time. Because many of them also work outside the home. But yeah, when they come home, it's kind of their domicile, shall we say, the thing that they take care of. And then they do all those things. And I know a lot of men do pitch in and help out to some degree, but I don't know who those guys are for sure. But anyway, I'm sure they're out there somewhere, right? Amen. But, you know, she was a wife, and you know what it's like to be a wife of somebody, and to come into that, to leave her own family and to come into this relationship with this person, and now all of a sudden to be a part of what they're doing. And then the idea of becoming a mother, I mean, it's you know, the idea, she was a mother and took care of kids. It's like many women today, yeah, you take care of your children. You just have that something inside of you that drives you to want to take care of your children and to be such a part of their life. And she was also called to be a companion to Adam and everything that they did. And she was also a helper or co-manager of God's creation. That's what Adam and Eve did. They were co-managers of God's creation and everything that they did. And, you know, there's nothing better you know, than to have somebody in your life that you can build a life together, right? To be able to do things together, to be able to live that life and to try to see some of your dreams come true and the things that you want to accomplish in this world, and to have somebody with you in that. I hope you have somebody. If not, you know, just pray that God brings somebody into your life. Because I'm so thankful for my wife. I mean, she does things that I never could do and things I still can't do. Of course, maybe I didn't pay attention that good. I don't know. There are certain things that I can't do, and she's just very good at. And it just amazes me. And we make a good team, and I like that. It's good to have a good team. And I know Adam and Eve, you know, were a good team. Now, like many mothers also, as well as, you know, men, but Eve also felt some loss in her life. And, you know, many mothers sadly experience this kind of loss. You know, first, you know, she lost her innocence, in a sense, and her close relationship with God, and what that feels like, you know, to lose a close relationship with God like that. And I know sometimes people fall away from God, and different things go on, and, you know, make us kind of mad at God, but hopefully we get that kind of straightened out and brought back in. And so that lost feeling, it just feels like something's been stripped away, you know, and she lost her home. She lived in paradise. I don't think we understand what that totally would entail, but they were living in paradise, and, you know, everything was just all hunky-dory, for, shall we say. But then, due to the fall of man, you know, God could not risk letting them live forever in that state of fallenness, that state of brokenness. So he had to take them away from the tree of life so they could not eat that no more. And that's where death entered mankind. And so there's that loss. And I know sometimes people lose their homes because they lose their jobs and things like that. And all these different losses that you and I have to deal with in life. You know, we just have to trust that God has a plan. And that God's going to bring us through, and he's going to take us to where we need to be as we continually walk and trust to him. And then even up there, and this ranks up there just as high as the other, she experienced the loss of a child. You know, which is one thing that no parent ever wants to have to face, is the loss of her child. It shouldn't be that way. The parents should always pass before the children, but sometimes those things just don't work out, and all the pain, and even to make it worse, the loss came at the hand of another one of her children. You know, and having to deal with that, just the pain of everything. So she was a woman, being the first woman, and everything that was entailed in her life of how she had come from a place of where she was living and walking with God and had one of the most close and intimate relationships with God ever. And then all of a sudden that was all stripped away. And everything that had to deal with all that. So just a lot of different things. Now, Eve learned how to live with loss in her life, which is made possible by the grace of God through the shedding of blood. See, God did not kill Eve and Adam. Right after this passage, it talks about how God killed an animal and the blood was shed, and then he took the animal skins and covered Adam and Eve. And it covered their shame. Because one thing happened when their eyes were opened, because they ate of the tree in disobedience to God, is that for the first time in their lives, they felt shame. Shame is a terrible thing, isn't it? I mean, I felt guilty before, but I've also felt shame. And knowing everything that goes with that, because shame is a lie from the devil, because it comes into our life and makes us identify with the sin that we did. But that's not who we are. We were created in the image of God. And we need to remember that. So no matter what it is that we feel that we've done, no matter what wrong road that we may have taken or what turn that we went the way that we wasn't supposed to, you know, God always has grace through the shed blood to be able to restore us back into fellowship with Him. All we have to do is take it. But I'll be honest, a lot of people don't receive it. They just won't let go of the shame. And if that's speaking to you, if it's knocking on the door of your head or your heart right now, just release that shame to God. Let Jesus Christ have that. I want you to walk out of this place free today, knowing that you cannot be stopped because you're unstoppable because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no sin, no shame, no problem, no peril, no anything that can stop you. Because of the power of God that works inside of you. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Even when things looked really bad, God made a way. Even back in the Garden of Eden, when God could have easily started all over, but He didn't. God did not give up on Adam and Eve, and God will not give up on you. Amen. You need to trust that. You need to hold on to that no matter what happens in your life. No matter what happens in your life. Because God is there. Now, I talked earlier about being a nurturer. You know, this is one of my wheelhouses here. Just kidding. I'm going to tell a little story on myself in a minute. But, you know, mothers are nurturers. You know, some men can do it also. I've seen that on TV. But, but a part of God's character, you know, see, mankind or man was made in the image of God, okay? And then God said it's not good to be alone, so God took Eve out of man. So with that come part of God, part of God's character and different things, you know, that image, that things that God once has. And that's what makes men and women kind of different. You know, that's kind of nice, isn't it? You know, I'm glad my wife's different than me most of the time. But, you know, just that uniqueness of many of the character traits that the women carry, you know, inside themselves. And to be honest, feminine qualities came from God, and that's good. I mean, I'm glad I'm not married to a man. You know, I'm glad I'm married to a woman. I love the feminine qualities of a woman. You know, that's just great. And so, to me, mothers, when they're walking in superpower as a mother, because it is a superpower, you know, they reflect the image of God about the, especially the area of nurturing, because God, our Heavenly Father, nurtures us also. You know, he wants us to grow, and what all that means, because, you know, a lot of times we think God sometimes is so unapproachable that we can't get close to Him because, you know, God's busy, or, you know, God's got too, you know, he's just dealing with too much stuff, and He doesn't want me to, you know, say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. So, you know, God already knows it anyway. You know, it's like if you break a window as a kid, usually you tried to hide it or fix it or blame somebody else. We can't do that with God. God knows already. As a matter of fact, God knew you was going to do it before you did it. God wants us to come to Him to nurture us and to restore us and to bring us back in the fold. That's just a character trait that's awesome, because to nurture means to make sure that each individual grows into their full God-given potential. That's what it means to nurture. And I've watched this in each of my children and how they grow, and because, you know, every child is a little bit different and needs to be nurtured differently. I mean, it may not be a lot of difference, but a little bit differently. They all have different things in their life. And as you probably have noticed, some of us are different from each other. Some of y'all is way different. You know what I'm saying? Just way different. But that's good. I mean, it's some differences that make us unique, and how we can better utilize each other. We get all the bases covered. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the idea of, you know, we can't just cookie cutter people and do it all just one way. And it's important that we see that. Now, my style and of how I do things is a whole lot different than my wife's. We're totally different. Kaylee called last night to my wife and asked what I'm preaching on. She says, he's gonna talk about nurturing. And she started laughing. I could hear it. I was just heading into the bedroom because I go to bed early on Saturday nights and get ready for the big day, you know what I mean? But it kind of rocked me a little bit. Kind of rocked my confidence, you know what I'm saying? Because what did she mean by that? Why did she laugh? And then I texted her this morning, and this is the story she told me. You know, she was about 9 years old playing softball, and Denise was out of town at some women's conference, and I might have been coaching. I'm not sure what I was doing, but Kaylee slid into home plate. I think she was safe. I'm not sure. But anyway, she got a big raspberry on her leg, and so she was crying, you know, and in a little bit of pain. And I just didn't know how to deal with it, she said. And so she had to go sit on another mom's lap for a while. Because I could not nurture her in the way she needed to be nurtured. And she said, then, when we got home, I dumped peroxide on her leg. You know? In the long run, I mean, hey, I was doing her a favor. That's how I see it. And to this day, I still say I did it right. But, you know, I'm not saying I did that all the time. I think about a year or two ago, I got my nurturing down a little bit more, but all the kids are gone now, though that makes it easier. But but when the grandkids ever show up, I'm going to be ready, bless God. Amen? I'll be ready. So, and I'll be honest, I could have done better. I ain't going to lie. There's some things I could have done better at that. And I did. That's just one example. There's many, I'm sure, of other things. But, you know, to me, as I look back and when I was studying this a little bit, I was not aware, or if I was aware, I just forgot, how important nurturing is. Just the importance of that. And like I said, men can do it, but I think it's really a special gift that God gives women, especially when the kids, you know, are younger and they really need that. You know, nurturing as a parent, you know, is crucial because it's for a child's healthy development. It fosters emotional well-being, positive self-esteem, and it helps to build strong relationships. And so it just really opened my eyes to see the importance that to make sure that we, you know, implant that into our children to know. Because what it is, it's the image or a reflection of God, of what God wants to do in our life. And sometimes if we miss out on that or don't understand that experience, I think it hinders our closeness we can get to God sometimes. If we've never had nurture. Now the good news is maybe you don't feel you were ever nurtured as a kid. You know, maybe you feel you was raised by wolves. I don't know. You know, maybe it was tough out there. I know it can be. But nevertheless, you know, God can still turn that around. You know, in our relationship with Him and to help us. So it just makes a big difference. So what it does is when you say nurturing, it covers so many different things. It covers physical care. Taking care of the kids and just important that is, and how I know for me, with my wife, just watching how she just ministered to the children and taking care of their little needs and the little special things that they needed in their life, and as well as emotional support. You know, I was a suck it up buttercup kind of guy, and she would just be there, and I told her she quit babying the kids. You know, they needed to toughen up. You know, but they needed that. You know, as I look back, they needed that sort of love in their life and just how important nurturing can give guidance. Because to be honest with you, as I look back, it's that security that we get from nurturing that helps us to leave the nest. Amen. In a healthy way. You know, you're going to leave the nest anyway, right? They're going to leave the nest. Hypothetically. As a rule, you know. But isn't it better if they leave the nest strong in their self-image? I'm in. I just see how important that is. So, and, you know, the idea of giving that guidance. And one thing, closing up about Eve here a little bit, is that Eve got payback on the devil for deceiving her in the Garden of Eden, because God used a woman to give birth to Jesus, the Savior of all mankind. Amen? Amen. So that was powerful. That's a powerful thing to bring the Redeemer. Now, we're going to look at a couple little scriptures, and then we're going to wrap this up. Matthew 23:37 talks about Jesus, and Dan kind of mentioned this during the worship set. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way that a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. So, there we see the concept of true character of God. You know, I don't know if you can picture that, or maybe you've witnessed it, but a hen, you know, they get all their little chicks and they get them underneath them and they put their wings around them for protection from weather or from anything. On just how that is. And really, that shows us really what nurturing is all about. It wants to bring close. So that's what God wants to do with you and I. God wants to bring us close. God wants us to be intimate with Him. He wants us to be under His protection, under the wings of God, and how we need to do that. And to me, I just see the, you know, the protective nature of a mother. Now, I was raised on a farm, and I witnessed this quite a bit. And number one, I watched my mom. Somebody was kind of, you know, doing something me or mistreating me, and I watched my mom just get right in their face, you know, and just kind of straighten them out, if you know what I'm saying. And then also on the farm, I just watched, you know, I mean, I knew not to get between a mama cow and her baby. You know, that happened a few times every now and because you're working with them, and, you know, you just... it's just not fair. They're bigger than you are. And I've done it with pigs, too, with the sows and their babies. That's worse yet because they got those teeth and get you. So I just know that all of a sudden something goes off inside of a mother that wants to protect her kid at all costs. It doesn't matter. And that's just, I believe that was pre-wired by God to want to protect their children. And that's the love. Also, that we have to understand, that's the love that God wants to have for you and me. He wants us to understand that He wants to protect us. He wants to watch over us. The last scripture I want to share is 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now, Timothy was a preacher, and he had been discipled by Paul. And Timothy was out on his own. And he was head of a church, and sometimes things were kind of going awry. Things weren't going as needed. And so he was kind of discouraged. He was down. Anybody ever been discouraged or down? I think we probably all have, right? Well, here's Paul. He wrote this letter, and he's trying to remind Timothy some things. He says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwell in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well." Timothy didn't need tough love. Timothy needed to be reminded of the generational faith that he had in his family. The sincere faith. That's not hypocritical faith. It's a sincere faith. Now, what I like about this, it just talked about grandma, but it didn't just say grandma's faith, right? You know, I used to do a lot of street witnessing and things like that, and I don't know how many times people would tell me, and I'd try to get him a conversation about Jesus, and the kid would say, you know, my grandma was a very spiritual person. So, what about you? See, it can't be grandma's faith. It can't just be mom's faith. It has to be my faith. Amen. Right? Yes. But that's what we see from this passage. Grandma had faith. Mom had faith. And they passed it down to Timothy. We see the importance of family, generational faith, and the importance of being able to pass that faith down. You know, it's not the, you know, it is our responsibility of the church, but it's not the church's total responsibility to train your kid up spiritually. It is the parents' responsibility to train them up spiritually, because you're with them all the time, right? We have them maybe Sunday a little bit and Wednesday night a little bit, and that's it. You have them all the time, except when you ship them with us, right? We work miracles here, but we can't work a miracle in about an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, a week. I'll be honest, they need more. And so, to me, what I see is that there's a generational impact on the world due to the sincere faith of mothers. The importance, I remember times in my life talking to my, at that time, my great-grandma, and I've talked to my grandmas and my mom, and just the idea of what it means, you know, not to be scared when you die. I still remember them conversations. I still remember my great-grandma telling me when she, back then they had tent meetings and stuff, and I remember her telling me how she walked down, you know, in the tent meeting and surrendered her life to Christ. I remember those little things. I can't remember yesterday, but I remember these things because they're important to me. And the idea of how important it is when you, mothers and fathers, I don't want to leave you out on this one, but make a memory. Make a spiritual memory with your children. It's going to pay off in the long run. It's going to come back to them, and they're going to remember that time, especially when they need it. Because the idea I see here, too, is about mothers is that, you know, mothers lead by example and how important it is to be an example. Because what I've learned with three kids, that raising godly children is a hands-on experience, you know what I mean? A hands-on thing. Not this way. You know what I mean? That don't work in the long run. But sometimes you just got to get involved. And what we found statistically is that parents who attend church with their children have a greater success rate of their children becoming strong Christians, strong Christian parents themselves. They learn it. They learn it by example. Hey, we're not perfect parents, are we? But we do the best we can. And as we follow God, we can see that. So today I want to challenge us, number a couple things. We need to decide to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. If you do not protect your child spiritually, who will? Amen? Who's going to do it? And everybody likes to be blessed. To me, generational blessing starts at home. How important it is to get a plan, work a plan, and start to see. To me, you get inside of a flow. I love a flow. You know what I mean? I don't like to go, you know, start, stop. I like to just get into a flow with God and just flow with Him. And I encourage you to do that yourself, to get a plan of how you know, like Joshua said, as far as me and my house. You know, I can't, you know, what them guys do down the street, you know, I can try to influence them, but that's their choice. But as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.